The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord.
Good morning. I am incredibly grateful to have the opportunity to share this Sunday with you. I'm usually here in afternoons and evenings with much smaller crowds, but have very much looked forward to being in community and exploring God's word with you today. So this Sunday, we celebrate the reign of Christ, Christ the King. The passage in Matthew 25 is his very last teaching prior to walking to the cross. I find this compelling. While these are not his last words, they become the very last lesson Jesus, the teacher, leaves us. Matthew provides us with an interesting dilemma. And stay with me for just a few seconds as we step through some of the literal text. It sounds almost a bit apocalyptic in nature. So initially from his throne, Jesus is separating the sheep from the goats, offering royal inheritance to one group and eternal damnation to the other. There is a bifurcation. Some will inherit the kingdom and some will be cursed to hell. Both groups are surprised. "When did we see you and invite you in? Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty?" Jesus answers them very differently. "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me." And then, "Depart from me, you who are cursed." There's a tension between these two responses, and what's curious is that they both have no idea how they have or have not taken care or attended to the Lord. The common phrase between them is, "When did we see you?" See you. Hold on to that thought. Within this text, there are very concrete ways people show up or don't. Jesus talks about being hungry and being fed or not fed, being thirsty and given to drink or not. There are strangers, there are people who need clothing, there are the sick, there are the incarcerated. I think we could all add to this list. These are only some of the vulnerable among us. The mentally ill, the homeless, the grieving, the hopeless, the numb, those in despair, and those suffering in war. They, or shall I say we, are all around us, and some of us more visible than others. What strikes me about this text is those who see the need within humanity and those who don't. That is going to be different for each of us. It is a human existential need to be seen in our vulnerability. You need it, I need it, society needs it. It is not always comfortable for either party, both the person experiencing vulnerability and those witnessing it. Because what happens when you're exposed? There's risk. What do you do when you see or recognize someone who is in need? That may turn into responsibility. This is where the text calls us into discomfort. We will experience both at some point. We will need and also be needed. So let's explore. Having worked with young moms recovering from addiction and mental health issues, there was palpable shame in their needing. Their vulnerabilities were beyond comprehensible to most of us. Financial, medical, childcare, mental health, dental health, transportation, chemical dependency, all had suffered from some form of sexual trauma or rape, family dysfunction that I can't articulate from this pulpit. From a clinical perspective, I often felt that I was reparenting these young women. Accepting love was extremely hard for them. They don't feel that they deserve it. It doesn't matter how much you want to give it, they can't receive it. They have deemed themselves unworthy, or they don't trust it. And so it takes time. You can't throw a pack of diapers and a can of soup at that much pain. Both those things are helpful. It puts food in someone's belly and clothes on a babe for a few days, but what matters for the hungry, the thirsty, the incarcerated, and all of these women were literally every bit of what Jesus described as relationship. And it gets complicated because then in relationship, it is where we are seen for what we are. When Jesus says, "I was a stranger and you invited me in," my guess is that the human exchange there was far more significant than any piece of bread or cup of wine shared. Transformation takes investment from the person who needs and the person who can give. The gospel is all about restoring right relationship. The entire Bible is all about restoring right relationship, from the fruit in Genesis all the way through the dragon in Revelation. So if that's the case, let's go back to seeing. What do we need to see and seek right relationship? Jesus says some of us can see and others can't. I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that each of us probably experiences both. There are times we are able to be present to the pain and vulnerability of others, and there are times that we fail to do so. And why is that? All of us here could probably state that every soul is equally valuable in the kingdom of God. Do I always respond to people from that premise? The answer is no. Regrettably, I don't. And truthfully, neither do you. As Christ says, it's hearing and not understanding, seeing and not perceiving. Why is this? The reasons are complex as we are. Society and the social paradigms and structures that become innate inside us. Family, we are all raised with both overt and covert values and biases that filter how we view and engage with others. These follow us and inform our behavior until we are brought into awareness, until we are exposed to the harm that we cause. Insecurity, our own vulnerability that we try so hard to protect. The homeless person we encounter screaming at the building across the street, that could easily be you or I. They did not choose their mental illness that isolates them so much from functional relationship. Along the same lines as insecurity is fear. Tending to other people's humanity exposes our own. And that is often not comfortable. I also want to mention what Richard Rohr calls the shadow self. And the shadow self is the part of us that we don't want to see, and more importantly, we are terrified of other people seeing. The way that we get through that is actually to be open and vulnerable, to honor the fact that it's there, all of us have it, and to look at it is to enter into healing. The caveat here, right relationship does not always equal intimate relationship. We all must discern those boundaries. What it does mean is respecting one another's humanity while preserving what is sacred. That may mean family, that may mean marriage, that may mean safety. It may mean our own mental health. But let us not shield the eyes of our hearts because of fear. May God grant us the courage to wrestle with discomfort, to open ourselves to our own vulnerability so that we may see that of others. And as Paul prays in the Ephesians passage that was read, may the God of King Jesus, our Lord, the Father of glory, give us the gift of being wise, of seeing things people can't normally see, because we are coming to know him and to have the eyes of our inmost self open to God's light. Amen.